Leviticus chapter 6, we're going to read verses 9 through 13 together. And let's read this passage responsibly. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, "This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering." And let's finish on verse number 13. Ready? "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for our church. Thank you for such a great place to meet. Thank you for these people. Now, Lord, we have a never-dying book called the Bible. You're an ever-living God. And I pray that you take the truths from your book through your man, and may I be a vessel today. And may you speak through me to the hearts of your people. Give each of us what we need today in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, here in Leviticus chapter 6, you don't hear a lot of sermons out of the book of Leviticus. You say, why? Because it's not one of those easy books to maybe understand. It's not as hard as we make it out to be, but let me see if I can help you for a moment. And if you'll look at me, I think I can help you. The book of Leviticus, it was given to the tribe of Levi. That's why it's called Leviticus. And it was an instructional handbook, so to speak, for the tribe of Levi. The Levites were the, and the best way to put it is, the Levites were the preachers. They were the ones that were supposed to take care of the tabernacle and eventually the temple when they got to the promised land. They were the tribe that was to take care of the house of God. Now, you'll notice throughout this, there is a lot in here that has nothing to do with preaching. By the way, preaching only takes up about 3 hours a week. The other 70 that I put in is not preaching. Y'all doing okay? There's a lot more to the work of God than just getting up here and blowing my stack 3 times a week. There's a lot more to it. You'll find out that they took care of the washrooms. They took care of cleaning up after the sacrifices. They took care of cutting down the wood and chopping the wood. They did it all. And it was the matter of taking care of everything for the house of God. Now, I have cut, split, stacked, and burnt enough wood in my life that it would probably count as a forest. Matter of fact, I may be personally responsible for global warming. Amen? I don't know. I have been cutting wood for about 40 years of my life. Since the time I could carry wood, I've been carrying wood. Say, why? Because that's just the way it was. I think my wife and I had been in a couple homes that we did not have wood heat for, and I hated it. And thank God I got a wood stove when I bought my house about 12 years ago, and I still cut wood. I enjoy it. You say, that's a lot of work. I got a gas stove, and all we do is flip the switch, and I'm happy for you, but I still like the smell of a wood stove. I still like the smell of burning wood, and there's just... I don't know if it's true, but to me, wood heats warmer than gas heat. I don't know why, but it is, and I just enjoy it. Here in Leviticus chapter 6 is a passage that is interesting to me. As I began to look at it, as I began to study it, as I began to see why things were here, it made more and more and more sense. And I have a truth for you today that I believe will help you. God outlined the priestly duties. And you'll find out that the first high priest was Moses' brother, Aaron. That means they were Levites, and it was Aaron's sons who would therefore take over after him. So it was the house of Aaron that was caring for these priestly duties. And they were responsible for the daily care of the tabernacle. Now, not only did they do the speaking and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, but they took care of all of the old-time sacrifices. They took care of cleaning it up, moving the wood, cutting the wood, and cleaning everything up. This was all part of their duties. Now, listen to me very carefully. Let me make it very clear. People got saved in the Old Testament the same way you get saved in the New Testament. This garbage that Mr. Schofield started and the Calvinists started, well, Old Testament is law, New Testament is grace, is a bunch of garbage and it's wrong doctrine. Just so you know. According to Hebrews chapter 12, by faith, Adam. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. And if you look, every one of them were saved by faith. Here's the difference. If that podium was Calvary, and this is the Old Testament, they looked ahead knowing what Jesus would do. We, in the New Testament, in 2014, are here looking back at what Jesus did do. That is the only difference. They had faith to look ahead to see what Jesus would do. We have faith and history recorded of what he did do, and we trust what he did do. That is the only difference. Now, in the Old Testament, you say, yeah, but they had sacrifices. Those sacrifices didn't save anybody. The Bible says, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his precious blood are we saved. Now, listen to me very carefully. You say, well, why did they do it just last Sunday night? I'll show you why. Last Sunday night, here at our church, we had the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's a representation of what he did do. You got to remember something. He hadn't done it yet in the Old Testament. And he said, to make it a bit more graphic so that you understand what's going to happen, I'm going to have you actually sacrifice animals. Because my son will be sacrificed for you. So they would actually take a lamb or a bull or a goat or turtle doves, and they would take the blood and they would put it on the altar and they would burn that blood. And at times there were offerings that they would burn the entire sacrifice. You say, boy, that's a bloody mess. It was a bad mess. By the way, what Jesus did for you was a mess. This picture you see that the Catholics put out of some little sissy britches boy hanging on a cross with a little trickle of blood down the side of his face and a little trickle of blood out of each hand and his feet. That's not a picture of my Savior. According to the book of Isaiah, he was beaten so badly you could not tell whether he was a man or an animal. He was a mangled piece of meat. That cat of nine tails lashed his back 39 times to the point where the Roman soldiers could pull a man's insides out through his back with that cat of nine tails. They put his robe back on him to hold him back together to torture him long enough. They beat that crown of thorns into his head. Folks, you get a little splinter, you get a little thorn in your finger, and you think you hurt. They beat it down into his skull to where it was actually embedded into his cranium, actually into the bones itself. You put a nail all the way through your hands and put nails all the way through your feet, hang you on a cross and drop you into about a 4 or 5 foot deep hole on that thing and find out how much blood starts squirting. This little picture, this little sissy britches, long haired little effeminate dude with just a little trickle of blood, that's not reality. The Bible says he was beaten. He was bruised. They took handfuls of his beard and ripped it out by the handful. Should we demonstrate, Brother Smith? Brother Logue's back there, all right. I can't imagine. I mean, coming up and ripping handfuls of beard out of a man's face. Folks, it was a broken, bloody mess. Now listen to me. Say why? They didn't have all that written down yet as history. It was about to happen. You think it takes faith to get saved in these days? Can you imagine looking forward to it happening? Do you know how nuts we look for believing that the rapture is going to take place? That's how the Old Testament saints looked ahead to salvation. Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, here we go. Now that we've got the foundation laid. Now, people have the same plan of salvation as they did back then. Now, there is one job about burning wood that I hate most. It's not cutting it. It's not splitting it. It's not stacking it. It's not even bringing it in the house. It's definitely not the burning. I hate taking the ashes out. I don't know about you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There they go. Poof. All I did was move it. To me, the nastiest part of burning wood is getting rid of all the ash. That stuff gets everywhere. During the wintertime, my basement is covered in dust. You say, why? Because every time I open up the door to throw more wood in, it's not the smoke, it's the dust. Whew, comes out. Now, ash is interesting. Ash, it's the remains. That's all that's left of pieces of wood. It's really kind of worthless. Do you know that you cannot burn ash? It's already burned up. It is everything about the fuel of the wood that cannot burn. All of the fire goes out of it. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. The heat has gone out of it. The ability to combust has gone out of it. I don't care how long you put fire to that, it will not burn anymore. It can't. Now listen to me very carefully. Ash is a result of fire from the past. Ash is a result of yesterday's fire. Ashes were used in the Bible often to represent sin. You would hear the term often in Scripture. They mourned or they repented in sackcloth and ashes. These ashes represent your sin. Now, you know, every once in a while I have a hard time expressing my opinion. I'm not one of these people that believes every time the word ash is used in the Bible, does it mean that's your sin? We've allowed too many people that quit soul winning to teach us the Bible, and they say, well, this is a type of this, and this is always a type of this. I don't believe that's true. Sometimes when God uses the word ash, he meant stuff that burned up, and that's all there's left. Okay? Read the Bible and let God interpret it, not some guy that has 3 degrees at the end of his name to tell you what he thinks God means. You know, some of these guys know more than what God said. Everybody doing all right? Now, sackcloth and ashes. They would use ash, and it was to remind everybody of their sin. They would actually take these and pour them all over their clothing. They would take a ring of flowers and dip them in ash, cover it in ash, and put it around their neck and wear it. They would pour it on their head. Say why? Because death in mourning, that person died as a result of sin. And they were mourning the effects of sin on somebody's life. When Job was found sitting in the ash heap, mourning. Say, what was that? He was mourning over the fact that, first of all, he was sick. He had lost 10 children. His fortune was gone. He was depressed, and he was sitting in ashes. Now, listen to me very carefully. Ashes, by the way, just like weeds, God cursed the earth with weeds to remind man of his sin. And boy, if you've been in my garden, in my flower beds, I must have been a really bad sinner because they're everywhere. Good night. One of my children, I won't tell you which one, recently I put some new hoses on the house, and I had put some new ends on the house while I was doing some work yesterday. And one area along one side of my house, I kept thinking, man, the weeds are going just stark raving crazy over here. I don't know what this viney stuff is, but wherever it touches the ground, it takes root and just keeps on going. I don't know who's responsible for that one, but they were a real bad sinner. Man, that stuff goes everywhere. Well, it was just overtaking this one area, and I thought, what's going on? And I started pulling, and all of a sudden everything was wet. I got to looking. Well, when that child, the only one I have left at home, helped me here in, I don't know how long it's been. It's probably been 2 weeks. Never turned the hose off. So there's been a slow drip down that hose. It's been watering my weeds real good. Let me tell you, she's just now finding out she did it, amen? But I was not angry. I was not mad. I did not blow up. I thought, wow, we're watering the weeds real good right here. No wonder they're so happy. Now, wait a minute. Ashes are like sin. It's impossible to get rid of it all. If you've ever had a fireplace, you know what I mean. You can scrape and scrape and scrape and scrape, and they're still everywhere. You can take them outside. I love throwing these on my garden. I throw them in the compost pile, and it's great. This winter, I'd take a whole bucket out, and I'd throw it out in the garden, and you'd see this gray cloud. It'd hit the ground, and poof. All the dogs are going, neighbors' dogs are going crazy till that gray cloud hits them, and then they shut up real fast, amen? You hear them over there going, say, yeah, you got a snoot full, all right. Say, you shouldn't do that, okay? Don't do it, but I have fun with it, all right? Now, ash represents our sins often in Scripture. It represents the fact that you can't ever fully get rid of it. My hands are gray. I'm still feeling it. And it's all I did is once or twice go like that. You can see them just floating everywhere. It's real fine dust. Now, man, it's everywhere. Some teach that, let me just put it this way. It was an act of humility. When you put ashes on you, it was an act of humility. Supposedly, let me teach you something here. Supposedly, the Catholics, you know, they have what they call Ash Wednesday. That's when you go to the church and they take ashes and put some water in it and smear it on your forehead, and you walk around all day with ash on your head as a symbol of being humble. Folks, my Bible says Jesus took care of all that at Calvary, amen? But it's supposedly an act of humility. But I want you to notice the thought for the day. The Bible says in verse 11, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ash without the camp unto a clean place, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Did you notice they took the ash out every day? Now, I can get my fire pretty hot. And usually when it gets real hot, I got a lot of ash in there to take out. I let it burn down and there's nothing but glowing red coals in there. You say, what do? I reach in there with a shovel about that long. And why they ever make just a metal shovel for that, I'll have no idea, and no handle on this thing. I'm going to vent something that's a whole lot better than what I'm using, trust me. But I'll reach in there and swoosh the coals over. And, you know, all the hair on the back of your hand starts going because it's so hot in there. And you're pulling ashes out, and then you scrape them over to the other side, the coals, and take out more ash and fill up your bucket. And I learned the hard way, you don't go from the fireplace and just go throw it on the compost pile. You say, why? Because then you're out there with the hose. It will catch the compost pile on fire. You got to let them sit for a couple days. So I do that. And now if there's snow outside and you throw them on the garden, there's nothing out there, they'll, it's great, man. I've learned all kinds of things about this. But boy, you reach in there, it's hot. And you got to clean them out because the ash will actually, after a while, if you get too much in there, it can actually suffocate the fire. Now, listen to me very carefully. The priest was to clean out the ash every day. The ash represented yesterday's fire. It was something that at one time was good. Now it's worthless. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. I have 2 points to my sermon today. Number one, God's fire does not leave ash. Man's fire does. Do you know that the Bible does not say anything about God's fire leaving any ash? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's just a few pages over. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at verse number 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. I want you to notice some statements here in the Bible. O Lord God, thou hast begun... Whoops, I'm in the wrong chapter here. I knew something wasn't right. Here we go, chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. We won't take time to turn there, but Hebrews 12, 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. That word consuming, that little statement, consuming fire, means it burns up everything and there's nothing left. Do you know when God's fire is burning, there's nothing left? Let me show you what I mean. God has no sin, so God leaves no ash behind. Do you remember the story in the book of Kings where Elijah is on Mount Carmel with 850 false prophets? And they're up there and they said, let's have a competition. We'll find out whose God is the real God. We will try by fire. Whoever can call fire down and consume the sacrifice, that God wins. So Elijah says, y'all go first. Ladies first. Y'all go first. And they tried all day long. And they beat themselves. They cut themselves with knives. And they danced and they played rock music and they did this. And Elijah sat back and said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe you ought to cry a little louder. Maybe your God's on vacation and he can't hear you. He's laughing at him. He's mocking him. You say, you shouldn't do that. Okay, you don't do it, I will. I have fun with it. Now, wait a minute. Came time for Elijah. He said, okay, boys, you've been doing all kinds of weird stuff all day long. He said, let me show you what the real God can do. He built back up the altar. They had broken it down. By the way, false doctrine always breaks down the altar. He built the altar back. He put the wood in place. He put the sacrifice in place. He said, y'all got a barrel of water? He said, yeah. He said, dig a ditch around this thing. He said, put a barrel of water on it. They put 12 barrels of water on the wood and the sacrifice, filled the ditch up all the way around. It was totally dripping wet. Elijah looked to heaven, prayed a 63-word prayer, and the Bible says fire came down. Fire came down, and it burnt the sacrifice, it burnt the wood, it lapped up all the water, and it burnt the stones to where nothing was left. That's God's fire. He didn't leave any ashes behind. He just totally consumed it. Let me throw a spell for a second here. Did you ever notice even lost people use God's name in vain when they curse? About ready to start something else. Instead of people using our God's name in vain, why don't they say Muhammad blank? Why don't they say Allah blank? Everybody doing okay? Boy, that would get some attention, wouldn't it? I got to the point now where I get mad, I'll say, oh, Allah. I can take his name in vain, amen. Thought that was pretty good, Brother Mike. you know, You remember the story in the book of Exodus? Moses was on the backside of the desert. God was trying to get his attention, and there was a bush that started burning. Not me. But there was a bush that started burning, and the Bible says it was on fire, and it was not consumed. It did not burn up. Can I tell you something? There's no ash with God's fire. God doesn't leave any ash behind. Man does. God's fire has no sin in it. God's fire is a consuming fire. Hey, do you remember the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel? They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar got so mad that they wouldn't bend down and worship the 90-foot statue of himself. He said, fire up the furnace. Make it 7 times hotter. We're going to throw you in. It was so hot that the people that bound up Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and opened the door of that furnace, it was so hot that it killed the men that were supposed to throw in Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Here they are in woolen coats and hats and bound up in chains and things. They finally throw them in the fire and they looked in. They looked in and they said, uh-oh. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're not going to believe this. He said, what? We're not even going to say it. Just look in there. He said, how many do we throw in there? They said, 3. He said, I see 4 men. They're loose. They're walking around. And the fourth is like the Son of God. He said, hey, fellas, come on out. They walked out. If you read in the book of Daniel, you'll find out the Bible says their clothes did not even smell of smoke. There was no ash. Because God's fire has no ash. Do you remember while God was leading the Jews through the wilderness for 40 years? I love this. During the day, there was a pillar of cloud. It shadowed them. It was an air conditioning system for them out in the desert. But at night, God would turn that cloud upside down, and it was a pillar of fire to warm them by night. But there was no ash. Folks, God's fire does not contain ash because there is no sin in God's fire. Oh, I must warn you about another fire. There's another fire that God has started that has no ash and that has no ending. It's a place called hell. It's eternal burning. It's eternal combustion. Your soul will be burnt if you die without Christ in a hell that has fire, real fire. But that fire, it will never be quenched, but there will be no ash from that fire. It just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning forever. Now, let me say this. God's fire does not make you what you are. Listen to this statement. God's fire reveals what you are. You know, the fire of God does not make you something. It reveals what you are. If you took gold from the ground, the first thing they do with gold is they heat it up with fire. It's mixed with inferior elements. They'll heat that up. They'll scrape the dross off the top. They'll let it harden. They'll heat it up again, usually 7 times to purify it. Can I tell you something? You're going to go through the fire if you're going to get purified. You see, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15, take your Bible and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see something. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard this, but maybe it does not make sense like it will today. Let's start reading verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Watch this. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now look at me. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your eternity is cared for. You never have to worry about being judged for your sins because Jesus Christ's blood took care of it for you at Calvary. Once you get that blood applied to your life, the Bible says, according to the book of Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Though you're guilty of sin, you'll never be judged for your sin. Back in the 70s, God bless Jack Van Impe. He used to go around the country preaching, God's going to throw your life on a giant movie screen and everybody in heaven's going to see what you did. That's a lie out of hell. Just so you know. Say why? Because God's not going to gossip about your sin. It's been covered by the blood and he doesn't even see it. God added the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your life. And when he looks at your life, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ the moment you get saved. But your works will be tried. Why you do what you do for him will be tried. Are you doing things to get the attention of man, or are you doing it to serve God? If you're doing it to serve God, that's gold, silver, and precious stones. If you're doing it so everybody else sees you, like the Pharisees, oh, you pray for me, I'm fasting, I've been fasting for 40 days, you pray for me. Guess what? That's wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to get burned up. When you start doing things to be seen of man versus doing things to be seen of God, God will try the works that you do based on your motive of doing it. Now, you're not going to ever be able to do everything in your Christian life without somebody knowing. I understand that. But your motivation, it should not be, well, I'm going to go sing a song and show everybody how wonderful I am. Gag. When you get past the point of, I need God for this, you're getting into some wood, hay, and stubble. I have here a gold or brass plate on my pulpit that says, I yield to the Holy Spirit. That's to remind me as I preach, not to preach in my flesh, but to allow him to preach through me. It's for every person that stands here that sings or leads singing to say, it's not me, it's God. Folks, it ought to be us doing it for God, not for show. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. You know, the fire of God will burn the dross out of your life. The fire of God will burn the dross out of your life. As you get saved and you start growing in the Lord, there's some things that need burned out of your life. There's some old ways that need burned out. There's some old things and old habits that need burned out of your life. You say, why? So you can be more pure and serve him more purely. By the way, that does not make you perfect. It just purifies you. God's fire is to purify. By the way, sometimes that means it's going to consume some things. You say, sometimes, preacher, you're preaching and, man, you're smacking me right between the eyes. It feels like you read my emails all week. I didn't read your email. I don't even read my own. Well, I read somebody else's. You've been reading my text. No, I haven't read your text. I read his text. See, you got to realize, sometimes that fire is going to burn things out of your life. But in that burning process, listen to me, it will purify you. Do you know that God will burn up the evil around you if you let him? I'm going to make a statement here. Sometimes that means you have to let him consume the evil, whether it's a person that you know or not. I never pray for God to judge evil people. I just pray for God to keep the evil away from my people. I told God this week, a couple times, God, would you protect our church from evil? I don't care what it takes to stop the evil, just stop the evil. Now, help the evil people. Lord, if you can spare them, spare them. But stop the evil. I'm not one of these people that believes, oh, God's going to get that person, they're evil, and you need to pray for God to kill them. You're an idiot. Because every one of us have been evil at some point in time in our life. Every last one of us. I just pray for God to stop the evil. And some of you need to stand up and say, I'm going to let God purify me. I'll take that evil and let God burn the dross off so I can come to the top. so I can come forth as gold. May I say this? If you're going through the fire, God thinks you're worth refining. He must think you got pure gold in there. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, God destroyed the false prophets at Mount Carmel. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. You know, to this day, they still can't find Sodom and Gomorrah. He say, why? God burned it all up. There was no ash left. He consumed it. Just so you know, Sodom and Gomorrah is southwestern Iraq. Interesting. Second, man's fire leaves ash to remind us of our sin. Every time I reach into that wood stove and I get in there and start sniffing wood ash, man, gets up your nose and you're sneezing. You blow your nose and the handkerchief turns gray. Blowing mud. Say, what's that, Brother Bush? Just reminds me of my sin. It reminds me that I'm a sinner. It reminds me that no matter how much I try to clean it up, I still got it all over me. You know, the ash reminds us of the destruction, the death, and the brutality of our sin. It should humble you. I don't know about you. I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved about 43 years, 42 years. I thank God He took care of my sin. I'm always humbled at what God does. Brother Logan and I yesterday made a visit, and it was one of those, preacher, I'm not sure how we're going to be received. Preacher, this person doesn't really like church a whole lot sometimes. Knocked on the door, and the man said, come on in. We walked in, sat down. Now, wait a minute. Say, what was that? That was God. It wasn't me. See, if it was me, I wouldn't even got the door open. They'd have kicked me off the porch. Say, why? Because I'm a sinner just like you. I'm no different. But we watched God turn the heart of a family yesterday. Whew, I'll take that any day. Say, what is that? You got to realize you're just as much a sinner as they are. Folks, your preacher's a sinner. If you ever hear somebody say, well, I've heard about your preacher, he's a sinner, say, I know that. I never claimed to be perfect. We're going to have somebody sing in our church someday that was a sinner. Guess what? Matter of fact, every person that stands and sings in this church is a sinner. Did you catch that? It's wicked as hell that we expect to get up and, well, I know somebody and we need to get them up and tell everybody in the church the bad they did. That's wicked as hell. Say, you've said that a lot lately. Yeah, because there's this new, not new movement, but new to fundamentalism. Well, we have to have church discipline. No, you want church gossip, not church discipline. What good is it for you to know if I stood Brother Smith up here and had him confess his sins to you? You can't do anything about it anyway, other than run your mouth to somebody else about it and tear him down. That's evil. Well, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. Notice the word fault, not sin. It says fault, not sin. If I offend Brother Smith, I'm to go to him and say, Brother Smith, I did something wrong and it's my fault. I sure apologize. I don't even have to tell him what wrong it was. I just have to accept the fault for it. Are you doing okay? Doesn't it say confess your sins one to another? Confess your fault one to another. You're not God. What good is it for me to tell you what I did wrong anyway? Everybody doing okay? Hang in there. The ash reminds us of our sin. Death is proof we're all sinners. Ashes were used at a time of death because death is a result of sin. Ashes were used after a time of calamity because calamity comes because of our sin and our evil. It was used after a time of judgment because we're judged because of the result of our sins. Now, ash was to be removed because it was yesterday's fire. If you don't get anything, get this now because you're about to shout. This can't be burnt again. This is yesterday's fire. It'll choke today's fire if there's too much of it. Now listen to this statement. The sacrifices that burnt and became this ash were cared for. The debt was paid. It doesn't need to be revisited. Folks, some of you need to clean the ash out of your life. Some of you are so consumed in being choked out by the ash in your life. God paid for it. Remove it and go on. By the way, let me say this. Churches don't need to go to yesterday's ashes for their fire today. Can I say it again? Churches don't need to go to yesterday's fire, their yesterday's ashes, for fire today. I'm watching churches all over America. We're going back to something that died out, yesterday's fire, trying to join up with them today. No, we don't join up with something that's ash. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but just add it to the list. Some of you sharpen your tongue. You ready? Here it goes. I don't need the sword of the Lord crowd. They've been ash for a long time. Their fire went out a long time ago. They're trying to yoke up with us. Can I tell you why? Because they don't have any ability to burn. They've gone the wrong direction. See, I don't think you ought to use names. Okay, don't use it, but I'm just warning you. I don't listen to quote-unquote Christian radio. Because about 90% of it's not worth listening to. It's ash. Tennessee Temple is ash. There was a day where it was a hotbed of fundamentalism. They've changed. Everybody doing all right? See, I don't think you ought to use names. Okay, don't. I will. Bob Jones University turned to ash a long time ago. Long time ago. And yet we're trying to yoke up with those same people in fundamental churches today. Well, they used to be on fire. They used to be. Ash. We're not to yoke up with yesterday's fire. We're supposed to clean yesterday's fire out and burn wood today. We're trying to use what the liberals now use, bring it into our churches, and it's nothing but ash. They talk about fire, but they have no heat. You're supposed to remove yesterday's ash so you can burn the sacrifice for today. Well, soul winning doesn't work, so we'll do surveys and we'll have higher concentration and more success. That's yesterday's fire. Southern Baptists have been doing that for 60 years. Folks, 46,000 Southern Baptist churches in America, they average 6 baptisms a year. Everybody doing all right? State of West Virginia, 193 Southern Baptist churches. They average 3.4 baptisms per year. They're concerned. We've gotten away from evangelism. We're needing to go back to evangelism. Folks, soul winning works no matter what. Our little brand new church, we baptize about 5 times as many as any Southern Baptist church at least, and we're just getting started. Can I tell you why? Because we're obeying God. Boy, that's good stuff. You need to remove the ashes from... I'm going to get in trouble here. You need to remove the ashes from old institutions. I'm going to borrow Brother Hiles for a second. Some people choose their church membership because grandma and grandpa are buried out back. We'll dig them up and bring them here. We'll put them in the back parking lot. Amen. You don't choose a church because of where granny and grandpa are buried. They're not there anyway. That's just their shell. They're in heaven. Some of us need to take the colleges of the past out of our life. Say, I don't think you ought to say that. Okay, don't. But that's what God says do. If the fire's gone, remove the ash and go forward. There were some churches of yesteryear that used to be wonderful churches. They're dead, full of ash, and that's all they are. Back in my hometown, one of the largest churches in America, at one time running 10,000 people. If they have 400 this morning, I'd be shocked. And what they do have is with rock music, drums, electric guitars, and they have praise and worship services. What is it? Ash. Well, I know in that church, I know a lot of people in that church. I got family in that church. I wouldn't step foot in that church during church service. I took my kids there as a museum to show them what it was, not what it is. Everybody doing okay? Well, aren't you loyal to a place? No, I'm loyal to a truth. Take the ash out, start the soul winning up. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like it or lump it, it's military chow, not cafeteria style. Amen? We're going to flop it on your plate while you're here. You might not come back, but you're going to get your tail feathers plucked while you're here. Amen? There are preachers that used to preach right that have changed direction, and just because they did preach right 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years ago doesn't mean they're right today. And I know what I'm talking about. When you start messing with the authority of that book, you're off. Period. I don't care what you used to do. You're ash today. When you start attacking men of God and trying to take them down in evil ways, you have gone to ash. I don't care what your name is. It's amazing. I'm watching people join up with people they used to preach against. I want you to notice something. The Bible says they were supposed to remove the ash daily. Do you know it's good for you to get on your face before your God and every day get rid of the ash in your life? Some of you would be less worried about what somebody else has done if you'd get on your face and tell God what you've done. That means you need to clean your life up daily. I'm afraid we Christians go to church and we get ourselves polished up and we say, look at me. That's pride, that's sin, and it's wrong. Throw some ash on your head, get to this altar and tell God that you done wrong. I don't care how much you shine up a pig, he's still a pig. I don't care if you wash him in milk or wash him in soap, he's still a pig. Can I tell you something? I don't care how much you clean yourself up, you're still a sinner. Some of you need to clean up your life daily and stay humble. Some of you need to realize that the fire needs stoked every day. Somebody recently was talking and they said, man, Brother Bush, your church is, it's on fire. I said, thank you. They said, aren't you afraid it's going to burn out? I said, nope, because God's fire never goes out. It never goes out. I said, that is a scriptural term. God's fire will not go out. Some of you need to get rid of the institutions that are bogged down by ash. Some of you need to get rid of some of the preaching influences on your life that's nothing but ash. Some of you need to get to the point where that book stokes your fire every day. Lay the wood on the altar and read it every day. Some of you need to decide you're going to come out of your shell and obey God and go out and tell somebody else about Him. There's nothing that'll pump you up like somebody getting saved, I promise you. Some of you need a daily walk with God. And let me finish with this. Daily, you clean the ashes. And they would take in the book of Leviticus, they would take the coals from that fire to start the fire again for the sacrifices. But watch this. They didn't need all the coals to start the fire. They would take the remaining coals that were there from the sin sacrifices. They would place them in a bucket much like this, and they would take them inside the tabernacle. There was right before the Holy of Holies a very thick curtain, a veil. And in front of that was what they called the altar of incense. They would take those coals from the sacrifice, place those on the altar of incense every day. That altar of incense, they would burn incense on it. Watch this. And the smoke from the incense would fill the room. It would go over that curtain. Watch this. And fill the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat of God was. And it was a representation of their prayer and their fellowship with God. Where did it all come from? Because we're all sinners. They took the coals from the fire, burnt incense on it to talk to God. They took the ash out because it was choking out these coals. You're not going to have the sweet fellowship of God if you're living in the ashes. Chucky Swindoll is ashes. Hocus Pocus on the Family, James Dobson is ashes. Everybody doing all right? Listen to these sissy britches preachers that, well, let's get into the exegesis of Scripture. Let's go verse by verse. Gag. Jesus never one time in Scripture exegeted. You won't find one exegesis of Scripture. Say, I don't even know what that means. Good, you're safe. Well, we want to show people how smart we fundamentalists are. Can I show you how smart you are? Go out and tell somebody how to get saved and keep their soul out of hell. You can't tell them anything better than that. Yes, sir. Nothing. By the way, I don't want you to live in ashes. I don't want your Christian life. By the way, this is the way most of us view our Christian life. Ash. Some of you young people have a bad taste of Christianity. Can I tell you why? You're living in the ashes. Come out of the ashes, get rid of the ashes, and live where the fire's hot. Live where the fire is hot. With the fire of God in your life. Some of you might need to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. You've never obeyed the Lord in believer's baptism. Can I tell you something? Today's the day. Today's the day. Say why? Because you need to get your baptism count up. I don't have a registry with God saying I have a minimum I must meet. I want you to obey God so you can come out of the ashes and live with the fire. Maybe you've been at our church and you've decided you want to join up with a church like ours. Jump on in. The water's fine. Maybe you just need to decide. Let me ask you a question. If the fire of God was measured by your fire, what kind of church do we have? Maybe some of you need to get up off your seat, come down here at the altar, get rid of the ash in your life. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's an influence. Maybe it's just your lackadaisical spirit against the things of God. I don't know what it is, but let me ask you a question. Do you have ash or no ash? Ashes are man's fire. No ash is God's fire. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there one today? Let me ask this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. Never been a time where I made it sure that I was on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, Brother Bush, I've been saved, but I have never been scripturally baptized. I'm not asking you, I'll ask you to do it today, but you don't have to. Raising your hand would not commit you today, but you say, that's me. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Would you raise your hand? God bless you and you. A couple of you. Good. Who'd say, Preacher, I haven't been cleaning the ash out of my life like I should. Boy, there's a truth in there today that helped me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. Whatever your need, maybe you want to come and join our church. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, we'd be glad to have you. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and get rid of some of the ash in your life. Maybe you need to come and get baptized. We can take care of that today.